Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Mitts and Twigs podcast. We are coming up to the trade deadline. It is creeping up super fast, my dude. I don't know. I think we're seeing some things happen. We got a lot to talk about today. We're going to try to get to it all. First and foremost, how are you doing, pal?
I'm great. This has been some entertaining week in the NHL. I don't remember there ever being like a week where even a couple of the past couple of weeks where there's been so many big names moved before the deadline. Like there's usually like one, like last year was Tyler Toffoli. This week, these past 2 weeks have been Bo Horvat, Tarasenko, now Timo Meier, Jack Johnson, who's trash, but he's still got, like, there's a bunch of names, right? It's just like every day somebody's getting traded. Tanner Janot just got traded as we sit down to record this podcast. As a hockey fan, it's been awesome. How's my week been? As a personal, it's been great. It's been awesome. I look forward to every Sunday sitting down with you talking hockey. So now it's been made.
Attaboy. Mutual appreciation there, my man. Yeah, exciting. Lots of trades to talk about. And I wouldn't mind digging into that Janot as well, because I didn't see that one yet. Let's dive right in. Did you have a game? A warm-up?
Yeah, I feel like I've really enjoyed. I'm just trying to pull up these Tanner Janot things here. Oh, it's juicy. We'll announce in a minute here. a little memorization thing for you to keep you at your older age on top of your toes, right? Like making sure nothing creeps in, making sure you're quick, your reflexes are sharp. So I wanna see how great your draft memory is. I'm gonna name the first five teams to draft in the last, I don't know, like 7-10 years, right? Less than that. And I want to see how much you can remember. So this is how the top five go. Okay. I'm excited. Number one, Buffalo. Number two, Carolina. Number three, Montreal. Number four, Ottawa. And number five, Arizona.
And am I just supposed to tell you what year this was?
No, I want you to tell me who got drafted at those spots.
Oh my god.
And hey man, you can do it. And what year it was. Oh, do you want me to give you the year? How about I give you the year?
No, give me the year, some okay. Context.
Okay. I'm just saying, I probably could do it. 2018.
Oh,
Buffalo,
man.
Carolina, Montreal, Ottawa, Arizona.
I honestly, it is complete blank.
Just nail the Buffalo one. 2018, Buffalo.
We're gonna have to edit all this out just to protect my fragile ego. Okay. What day is it today? So we're talking 5 years ago. Ah, my gosh, no, it wouldn't be. No.
How about I give you one more hint here?
This isn't Cousins, is it?
No, it's not Cousins. Here's a hint. Carolina recently just got bought by Tom Dundon, and he said, as long as I am drafting, we will never draft a defenseman in the first round. That's a huge hint.
So is it Dallin? No.
Dallin is number one by Buffalo.
Okay. Yeah.
Then yeah. Carolina. Okay.
And then Carolina. Oh, my God. 5 years ago was just long enough that they're not like recent players, but they're not necessarily superstars per se yet, from my point of view, anyways. Carolina from 5 years ago, who did they draft? Oh, my God. I have no idea. I'm honest. I have no idea.
Are you giving up right now? I'll give you one more hit. He's Russian.
Well, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is Svechnikov. But he's older than that, right?
No, it's Svechnikov.
See, that's just it. Svechnikov, in my mind, has been in the league for like 8 years.
It's only been five. He leads. He's got 260 points. Okay, the next one.
Montreal.
This was a big shock.
Draw so terrible.
Offer sheet.
Oh, not my boy. It's Barry Cock and Yemi.
Yes, Barry. Yes, boy.
Sorry. Yeah.
The next one, Ottawa. This should be a gimme now.
Is this Brady?
This is Brady.
Brady, thank goodness.
And number
and what's
five.
The, number
Number five,
five,
Arizona.
Chikrin?
Nope.
No, he's a little bit older than that. Who's young?
This one's gonna be tough.
Yeah. No, it shouldn't be those guys. Yeah, no, I think I might have to fully throw in the towel on this one.
Mr. Group Chat Legend himself, Mr. Barrett
Oh,
Hayton.
Hayden, oh my goodness.
Yeah, so the 2018 draft.
Speaking of Hayden.
Yeah.
You have feelings about young
Hey,
Barrett, don't you?
no, I he's a solid, like he's a he is what he is. He's up and coming. He's a solid second, third line center that plays on a terrible Arizona team. Actually, a very electric and fun Arizona team. Yeah, so Buffalo
two starting
swept your best.
goaltenders.
Yeah, Ingram, electric. You did okay. You did okay. I did think you were gonna nail Buffalo like right away, because especially after I gave you the Tom Dundon like little speech, I'm never gonna draft a defenseman. And he didn't, because Buffalo took the lean. So yeah, that was the game. Next week, make sure you know, maybe study up a little bit, stay on your toes.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, I appreciate you with that, you know, luminosity type efforts, trying to get my brain reengaged. I think it's
Yeah.
far too late for that, but you know, best of luck in the future. Well, outside of that embarrassing showing, and maybe speaking of showing your age,
Right.
Which is probably more of a shot than I should have taken. The news came out today, David Poile stepping down at the end of the season. Long time Nashville Predators general manager, president, what's the role again? He's been there since the inception, 41 years in the NHL. But he's calling it a career. It's to be fair, he's also staying on in like a consultative role with the team and with ownership, but he's stepping down. And it's interesting to see that. I mean, it's such a long tenure. I think he set the record for the longest tenure in that role in the NHL, in the process. He has really done a wonderful job keeping that team kind of relevant and not out of it too far more often than not, although they never really got the ultimate championship there, the Stanley Cup. But even, you know, kind of on his way out has said some things where he's, you know, he's taken some accountability for the fact that the team hasn't quite done what they'd hoped the last couple of years. Players, let's say development hasn't been what they had have hoped. At least from a high-end standpoint, you know, the Tolvanen is a great example of that recently. And so I got a lot of respect and tip the cap to a guy who, you know, it seems like he's just kind of like saying, hey, look, I'm not sure I've got it for what I can bring to the table, what this team needs anymore. And he's just going to take a step back. And Nashville legend Barry Trotz, first time management opportunities, taking a stepping into that role. So another long-tenured fella in the area. That's big news. That's big news today.
Yeah, Nashville Predators owners, you could basically like loyal, man. Like they do not burn through coaches. They do not burn through GMs or presidents or anything. Like they, once you're there and you do a good job, they will ride or die with you. David Poile, I think, what, he just hit 3,000 games. Like he's been the GM for 3,000. That's a long time. Like that is a long time, especially like when I think a span of a GM is, I think, 5-6 years, something like that. He's been around for 3,000. That's a lot of hockey. So good on him. He probably deserves a break. Hang out with his grandkids. If he has grandkids, I don't know anything about his personal life. It's awesome. The Barry Trotz connection makes a lot of sense now. Just regarding that, all the felt like there's a bunch of musical chairs with him this past offseason where he's going to go coach here and then he's going to go to his hometown, Winnipeg. And where's he going to go? Where's he going to land up? And it just makes more sense now. They must have had these discussions in the offseason and it's kind of been sitting there ready for him. And he's coming in. I think he's coming in immediately, Elliot Friedman reported, and basically just going to kind of work under him. I'm going to take over when the actual date he's allowed. I think it's June 20th. I think it is.
July 1st. Yeah. Like yeah, he takes over officially July 1st, but he's going to be in the building, undoubtedly being trained, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is where the printer is. This is, yeah. You know.
This is how I call the other GMs. Yeah, exactly. Here's the cell phone. It's still like the flip phones. Dave doesn't even know. The Rolodex. Yeah.
It is interesting. And it also starts to make a lot more sense. Again, Nashville seems to have that kind of loyal aspect to them, which is really cool. It's certainly not common in sports or in business really like that. So that's pretty interesting. But it does kind of make some sense now when in the last year or so, and like you mentioned, Barry Trotz was like kind of rumored or linked to a lot of different things that didn't pan out. Where I do remember one point it kind of coming out that he was hoping for that kind of role, that if he took on a coaching role, that it would also be with maybe potential for a hybrid. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, maybe so understandably a lot of other teams were like, that would be just coach instead. So he's went home to Nashville where they're going to let him do the job that, you know, he's more interested in, which I get that. You know, the guy's probably got a wealth of hockey knowledge, feels like he knows how a team should be built, what to look for in players, but maybe doesn't have the, you know, desire or energy to be out on the ice every other day with them or out in front of the media every other day defending those choices. So it's kind of like, I get that, you know, trying to make a difference where you feel like you can be more impactful instead of down teaching X's and O's and whatnot. So that's interesting.
Yeah. It's,
but
it's...
And again, and Poile had 15 years previously with Washington Capitals. So again, like that's crazy to think this guy was in the NHL for 41 years, had two jobs in 41 years. Wild, unheard of, and impressive. So
it actually, it's crazy. Impressive. I don't think Nashville gets talked about enough and how they run their organization. Yeah. Are they probably the kings of mediocre, like being mediocre? Yeah. They're always kind of like right at the bottom. They had that nice like span there where they were rolling, won the President's Trophy, all that kind of stuff. Felt like they were hanging banner after banner for no reasons. but yeah, it's good on them. Like how loyal they're. The whole franchise since 1998, they've had three head coaches. Three. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like Edmonton's had eight in the past 5 years, it feels like.
I think they're still paying all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Vancouver is paying three head coaches right now. That's what's crazy. So
yeah.
Good on Nashville. Good on Barry. It's good. The NHL's better with Barry Trotz in it. So, excited to see how it unfolds. And I will say, like, while we're just talking about trading and we're about to get through all the deals here, I will say I like their strategy right now. They are in a wild card spot, or they're about to be in a wild card spot with games in hand on Calgary and Minnesota. And they know, hey, we're not going to win it this year. And they're selling. Like they're selling and they're doing the right thing. They're recouping assets. Because they know, hey, why are we going to like burn assets to try to fight Colorado? Colorado is still really, really good. Edmonton still has two of the best players in the NHL. And the East is wild. So I know, good on Nashville. It's got to be fun being a fan right now of the Nashville Predators.
Yeah. And we talked about that last week, I think it was, that because there's so many teams kind of in that, on that bubble, of maybe this is their year, maybe that's not. It's probably going to be the teams that decide which way they're going to go earlier than later that have the more advantage to that. So, a couple more news and notes. Shout out to the San Jose Sharks and Patrick Marleau, who got his number retired. First player in their franchise history to have that honor. We've probably had lots of fun at Patrick Marleau's expense on this podcast towards the end of his career. But what really should not be mistaken is that he had a very, very good very, very good career, and all it would have taken, it was one Stanley Cup win, which is really outside of a player's individual control, but one Stanley Cup win, and he is regarded on a completely different level. This is a guy who spent his almost his entire career with one team, had them relevant year after year after year, was often underrated despite being, you know, a top player in the league for so many years, and seems to be a really well-liked guy by all his teammates and people around the league. Now, you don't really hear a lot of bad stories about Patrick Marleau that I'm aware of anyways. So, you know, kudos to him, kudos to them. In a season for them that's probably pretty forgettable. Otherwise, it's probably a nice moment for their fans to enjoy and for the franchise. So,
yeah, it was crazy to see Big Joe just balling out there yesterday. There was like, I saw a couple of things on Twitter too that were hilarious. They had the Michael Jordan crying meme and now the new and improved Joe Thornton crying meme. It was beautiful. It was awesome. Patrick Marleau, I freaking hated the Sharks growing up. They were just juggernauts year in and year out. And it felt like you couldn't stop them. And every team and every cycle like that, like it has a cycle and they're going to start a new one right away here. So good on Patrick. He was incredible. The Leafs loved him. Mitchie Marner and Austin Matthews seemed to, you know,
yeah,
have a new father when he was, you know, over in TO, but, yeah, it's good on him. It's awesome to see first number in San Jose's history.
Yeah. I think last big news and notes I want to talk about. This is notable. It doesn't happen very often, and everybody remembers it when it does. We had a goalie goal this week. Linus Ullmark, goalie goal. It was a pretty important goal, let's be honest. The Vancouver was coming back, 2-1 game against Boston, and he made the save and fired it down there and iced the game. So that's pretty cool, pretty rare that we get to see that. I mean, for a lot of obvious reasons. So that's going to be a fun trivia answer for you all in the future. Burn that into your brains just in case Ty decides to, you know, I don't know, grill you 5 years from now about who scored the goaltending goal and against what team. It was Linus Ullmark for the Boston Bruins over the Vancouver Canucks. So just throw that out there.
That is awesome. We got a Jack Edwards goalie call, the most, you know,
over the top bias.
Yeah, I was gonna say some other words, but I was like, should I say it? No, I'm not gonna say it. So it was everything every Boston fan would ever want. It was awesome. And boy, you gotta be spoiled to be a Boston fan. Like, they are just so much better than everybody, and it's not fair. Like, it's just not fair. And I can't wait to hear for year in and year out how good Linus Ullmark is with the puck. Because remember when Mike Smith scored his goal? And then for the rest of history, of Mike Smith's history, all you hear is, man, he is just extraordinary with the puck on his stick. He's like a third defenseman out there. And Allmark's about to have that for the rest of his life. So good on him. He's going to get it asked every interview he does. How does it feel? And it's got to feel wicked because that never happened. So it was cool.
Nope. Well, why don't we dive right into it then? And speaking of Boston being good and getting better, they were able to send a number of draft picks, considerable, you know, haul, all things considered. But to bring in Hathaway and Orlov from Washington adds some real quality to already strong defensive core, and then adds a real quality, you know, bottom six forward to a team that really wasn't lacking that, but it never hurts to get a little more grit, a little tougher, and especially that kind of depth heading into the playoffs. So the rich getting richer here. What are we talking about?
Yeah, I find it hilarious because we all thought Gavrikov was going to Boston, and I don't know what happened, where that fell so off, Columbus. But boy, did Boston do better with this deal than Gavrikov. And I think Gavrikov is a hell of a player. Like, he's a really good defenseman on a terrible team. But Dmitry Orlov is solid at 50% retained. Garnet Hathaway does not get talked about enough as a bottom six winger. He's physical. He's gritty. He can put the puck in the net. He's a team glue guy. I think, like, to be honest, I think Boston wins this. by a ton. Like, you're looking at a first round pick, it's going to be super late, a third round pick and a second round pick in 2025. Yeah, it's a lot of picks, but you're going for it right now. You have the best record in NHL history going right now, and you just made a really savvy move going into the deadline where everybody thought they were going to overpay for Gavrikov, which was like at the time was reported a first and a third just for that one player. They got a really solid defenseman plus a really solid winger at 50% retained. So good on Boston. That's a tidy bit of business.
I think that this is low-key one of the more interesting trades, and not because of the players involved, because of the teams. Because you look at this and, you know, Boston, rarely do you see, it's not often that you see a team that is already so dominant go all in like that. And it's great for them, and I think it makes perfect sense because, you know, look at Florida. You can have a great season. You can win the President's Cup trophy. But if you don't win the Stanley Cup, who cares? Honestly, who cares? Exactly. It means very little. It's not even really second place. So it's like, it's great that they're going all in like that. But this is already a team whose absolute best players look like they're barely hanging on age-wise. Their play is still there. But, I mean, you got to assume that talent cliff is getting closer and closer. So for a team that looks like it's going on its last run to kind of empty the cupboard a little bit more, both from a member, from the standpoint of their fans and the team, like that's got to feel good, but it's also kind of sets up a really interesting crash later on. Then on the other hand, you've got Columbus, who's not even in the deal, but they went full spurned X, like, telling everybody that would listen that as far as they were concerned, they had a deal in place and Boston kept like asking them to hold on and push it back. And so, I mean, what they should have picked up on is the fact that they kept pushing it back meant that you were the side piece, Columbus. And if they were interested in you, they would have made an effort. And so we can all take that to heart and keep that in the back pocket to remember for later. But then you've got Washington. Yeah. And here's a team that, by all rights, not having a terrible season, facing a lot of injuries and whatnot at different times, but this was kind of a last hurrah. Maybe not the last hurrah, but, I mean, Ovi's probably doesn't have much top-tier hockey left. A lot of their players probably don't. Like, their best players are probably, you know, Carlson's been, he might not even play hockey this year. I think I was expecting Washington to buy to try to at least make it look like they're still making a run or trying to, at least, you know. I really thought I would see them, if they were doing anything, bringing in pieces to make themselves look, or at least to give the idea that the fans are making a run. And while this was probably a really smart hockey decision for them, it feels a little bittersweet for them to be somewhat acknowledging that the run is over and probably they won't be making a run again anytime soon.
Mm. So I think I like it for Boston in the sense that we watched Florida last year spend every freaking asset they have on just random ass players. Overpaid for Schrott, got Giroux. Who else did they get? They got a bunch of different players. I'd have to go back and look, but those were the two huge ones. This one seems like super savvy, where it's not a crazy high price. And I feel like it's not like we're adding a superstar into our already really, really good team. We don't need a superstar. We need to make sure our defense is like shored up, like make sure it's okay, looks good. And they already have a really good defense. They got bad money off the books on Craig Smith, who's probably raging right now because he was like, I was on the best team, now I'm on Washington. But I also really like it for Washington in the sense that Orlov was like asking for a 6-year contract and they were like, nah, we're not going to give it to you. Right. So let's try to recoup something. And I think they're going to play this a lot, like very similar to the way St. Louis is. Hey, can we flip this first round pick for something now? Right. And if they do that, well, bravo, that's really good. And if they do end up using that draft pick, which has a really good chance of being something like, I don't know, 32nd, because Boston's that good, You still are getting a prospect. So I think it's a solid win. But the team we're not talking about is how freaking good is Billy G in Minnesota doing? He got a He got a free third round pick and a free fourth round pick for I think it's like 76,000 of Orlov's money, like real actual money. And I can't remember, and it's very similar for Ryan O'Reilly's as well. But boy, those are the cheapest picks you'll ever have to get. And he's in a freaking wild card spot. That is unbelievable business. And now you're sitting there like, as a fan, hey, beat somebody, be the third team broker for that deal, right? Like take some of that money for a free pick. But Tidy, it was an awesome trade to start the week. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think, and just as like a callback, I think it was episode like 3 of our podcast, maybe 2, where we went off about the buyouts that Billy G did and how screwed they were financially for a number of years coming. And so far, we're only talking like we're in the second season. So the big impact is still to come in the next year, 2 or 3. Yeah. But I mean, Billy G's navigated it well. Oh. They brought in Fleury somehow. They got Talbot out, and Fleury's kind of, you know, not he's now basically backup duty, but still. And those kind of depth picks that, like, sure they're not big name or high picks, but when you know that you've got a cash crunch coming up, he's basically putting himself in a position where he can bring a lot of prospects and a lot of depth into the franchise, a lot of, you know, dart throws that, you know, who knows if these guys are going to pan out, but they're going to have a lot more young, capable bodies that they can try to at least train up into the system and fill in those gaps. And if not, maybe trade for players that are affordable in right now. So
it's more ammo. It's more ammo. Like, why would, like, as a GM, give me as much ammo as I can get. If I'm like just the bottom of the hill and I'm just starting to climb up to get to the top, I want as much ammunition as I can possibly have. And Billy G's doing that well. Are they cap crunched like you said? Oh, they are screwed. Right? Like even this year, it's like $14 million to two players that play on two different teams. Right? So it is what it is. But like you said, tidy, nice business.
Let's see a little quicker piece, I think. Dadnov from Montreal trades him. And I think with like half retained, but it's an expiring contract this year anyways, to Dallas for Gurianov. Gurianov also expiring, going to be RFA, but pretty good up-and-coming defenseman. I feel like this is a really big win-win for both teams, really.
Yeah, winger, but yeah.
Well, Gurianov, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a winger. RFA winger.
We'll see. Dadnov is definitely...
Dadnov is definitely a winger. Yeah, they're both wingers. Yeah. I think it's smart for Kent Hughes is another like fairly new GM that is just bending teams over, right? He has no use for Dadnov after this season. Zero. Like at all. So hey, let's take a chance on a guy that's showed in spurts that he can really play, but has not done what he thinks he could be doing in Dallas, right? And I'm just like sitting there like, again, he's done really well. I wouldn't want to answer the phone if Kent Hughes is calling, because he's doing some nice work in Montreal, and it's fun to watch. And for the Dallas side, I don't really get it. Like in 2017, this would have been a hell of a deal, but it's 2023. Dadnov's decent. Does he push that needle like you think he is? No, but maybe Dallas doesn't think it's quite their year, even though they're having a really solid year. So I guess it's like a buy low kind of deal for Dallas. And I love the upside for Montreal.
I love the upside for Montreal. And again, like Dadnov has no value to Montreal at all. So like there's nothing. He's an expiring UFA they're not going to resign. They got no use for him. So to bring in a guy who's younger, RFA, has the potential for what I heard referred to, and not my words, but Marty St. Louis as a coach being the ultimate motivator. What better, you take flyers on guys like that if you think you can get the upside out of them. And for Dallas, I mean, they're in the thick of it. And I mean, Dadnov carries a weird air about him in the fact that he's been getting moved around the last couple of years. And the idea of people not wanting his contract, or he's not fitting that. But at this point, the contract doesn't make any difference because we're going into the playoffs. The season's almost over, and he's a UFA. So I think this is just another depth player for them, a guy who can play well, and you know, on any given night, he's shown some offensive upside. He's shown he can put the puck in the net, and it never hurts to have another guy like that in the playoffs when you know your top two lines are maybe getting crushed. You might need one guy down there to be a play a hero to break through. And I'm certainly not going to call him a hero or a superstar, but I don't mind it at all to ship out a guy who is not hitting your potential and you probably don't have any interest in him anymore. And you're picking up a guy who, if he gives you an extra boost for the playoff run, then awesome. And if not, see you later.
Yeah, it's definitely, and if it works out for Dallas, if he can get back to that 20 goal pace they played in Vegas last year, right now he's got 4 on the season. If he can get back to that, then that's a really like savvy move. You're not burning any assets. You're burning the only asset you're burning is a guy that has already asked for a trade and he's now gone. Right. So yeah, let's hopefully it works out for both teams. If I were a betting man, I would definitely place more money on the Montreal side, getting a better, you know, return out of this, but who knows? I've been proved wrong tons.
St. Louis, my team, the Blues there, shipped Barbashev off to Vegas for a former first round pick in currently playing the QMJHL, Zach Dean. Barbashev, pretty good player, all things considered, relatively young. Probably going to be mostly a bottom six forward, but not afraid to put in the dirty work. And if push comes to shove, if you're shaking things up, you can put him in your top six as well. So a lot of upside for his play. He is a UFA at the end of the season. And fun fact that on the day of the trade, his camp, his management team went out of their way to highlight how great of an experience they had dealing with Doug Armstrong and how he was a first class, in a non-sarcastic way, literally promoting the GM that traded him away. And St. Louis basically followed up with saying openly that they are likely going to at least try to make him an offer in the upcoming offseason if he does go to full UFA, which is absolutely hilarious that it's openly done like that. But yeah, Barbashev going to Vegas to give them a little bit of extra oomph for the playoffs. What do you think?
Yeah, again, boy, Vegas doesn't like drafting and developing players, eh? Like, at all. They hate it. Like, that's what does the amateur, like, scouts even think about this? They're like, hey, yeah, send us out to Quebec and we'll scout some guys that you can trade, like, 3 months. So, I don't know. I actually thought the return was lower than what I thought Barbashev would go for, just especially because I didn't think there was, like, a huge plethora of players that were going to be moved, even though I've been proved wrong. There's been quite a bit of movement already. But yeah, I'm sure I like it. Like, they're going to get him back. He's going to go back to St. Louis. So yeah, here's a free first round pick that was just drafted. What was it, 2 years ago, or was it last year? I think it was 2 years ago.
I think it's 2 years ago. 2021. I think that's what's kind of, yeah, that's what's kind of fun about it, is that, like, yeah, it's, I think initially the leaks were that they were thought, or they might be able to get a first round draft pick for him, or maybe a second and a third, something like that. I mean, those rumors are always, you know, dubious at best, but yeah. I mean, if you're getting a guy who was a first round pick very recently, and it's not like he's, you know, he's not a superstar, but you know, it sounds like he hasn't done anything to make people suspect he won't continue to develop. And so, you know, the Blues are pretty solid about that sort of assessment, at least in the last, you know, decade or two, about both recognizing talent and developing talent. So I like it. And as you said, I'd be pretty stoked to see Barbashev come back for a good price as well.
Can I break the Tanner Jeannot deal? Because this deal's insane.
Let's do it. Let's go.
Okay. Tanner Jeannot just got traded right when we sat down. There was rumor he was going to get moved today. He got held out for now it seems like a total trend. Thank you, Arizona, for trade-related reasons. Tanner Jeannot traded to the Tampa Bay Lightning for Cal Foote, former first-round pick, a 2023 third-round pick, a 2023 fourth-round pick, a 2023 fifth-round pick, a 2024 second-round pick, and a 2025 first-round pick, top 10 protected. Like, are you kidding me?
That's a wild.
I
That is a
love
load of.
Tanner Jeannot, but that seems like insane. Does it not?
It's pretty wild. I don't think it's crazy because I mean it's a lot of like. It's not like a bunch of first round picks, right? So it's sprinkled across a couple of years. So it's something that could probably be, you won't even notice it. You could replace those picks with a bunch of shuffling trades in the offseason, at the draft, whatever. It's a good haul though.
Oh my gosh, it's a haul.
Tanner Jeannot from Nashville, right?
Yes.
So let me
No.
get this straight.
Wait, are you asking like hometown
Who's he playing
Nashville?
for?
Yeah, he plays for
He's trade no
Nashville. Yeah,
Nash.
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So Nashville's trading for a defenseman. Aren't they in the process of trying to get rid of defensemen? Don't they always have a constant glut of defensive talent? Doesn't it feel a little too like if you were to make up a satirical idea of what they would try to get in a trade, it would be like a defenseman, like a prospect defenseman. Like what are the
Here's my thing.
quit at one at some point they're gonna have to get like a superstar forward, right?
They stole Forsberg. Yeah, I get it. I think you're on the right page here. I think Ekholm's gonna get moved. And this probably just like and they want to move Fabbro. So I
Oh,
think this is just like, hey, let's just move some of these other guys out, get more picks. Like, that's a ton of picks. Like, they also got a second round pick for Nino Niederreiter today. Holy frick, like Barry Trotz is going to come into the office and they're like, here's all these picks for a rebuild. Oh, and you still have a stud goalie in UC Saros. You still have a top three defenseman in Roman Josi. And hey, you got Philip Forsberg on a hell of a deal. Here you go, Barry. It's set up perfectly for you. I love Tanner Jeannot. He had 25 goals last year. He's a power forward. Every team in the NHL wants a power forward. Just go look at the rumored prices for Josh Anderson. They are out of this world, right? Like, they are acting like he's Jerome Iginla. He's not. Clearly, they love Tanner Jeannot. He's got like 4 goals this year. I think he's got a total of 14 points. And he went for that? Like, I'm like, holy frick. He's got five goals, 9 assists, 14 points. That just seems like a lot to me. I don't know. Maybe it's just all the numbers and I can't read them properly, but for a guy with 14 points, that's a ton of draft capital.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense for a team like Tampa, where you could say they're trying to capitalize on another solid year, but at the same time, a lot of their star players are maybe in the back half of their prime. I don't want to write them off like I tried to in the preseason.
Yeah, you
they're
did.
still there, but they do. They're probably kind of, not as far as long, not as old as Boston feels, but they're not young. So bringing in a talented guy who can probably play that middle six and also flex up to the top line if need be, power forward, like you said, and going into the playoffs where you're going to have to probably go through Boston if you want to make it through there. So you're going to need that. It makes a lot of sense. And again, as much as they did give up a lot of draft capital, it's not a lot of premium draft capital. So I think it works out well for enough for both because, like I said, Trotz is going to go in there with a bit of a retool, rebuild probably in mind,
Yeah.
with some great pieces already on the team and a ton of options going into this draft and into the future years. So that's pretty cool. You mentioned it briefly there. We'll touch on it as well. Nino Niederreiter traded for a second round pick to Winnipeg. Winnipeg, I think, had just basically lost Cole Perfetti. Cole Perfetti?
Yep.
Perfetti for sure. I can't remember if it's Cole.
Yeah, it's
Anyways,
cool.
lost him for pretty much the season, if I'm not mistaken. So probably a good ad going into the playoffs. They look like they're going to be contending in the West, I suppose. Again, something that kind of I didn't call preseason. I'll just leave it at that. Good ad for Winnipeg, I'd say, like overall. I
Oh,
don't know if it's going to be the piece, but good job.
I think it's again, it's one of those moves. It's like the Dadonov. It's like the Vegas Barbashev one. It's also like we've seen over the history of trade deadline, you just because you got the biggest fish doesn't mean it's gonna like go into any result into the postseason. It doesn't help, right? Basically, sometimes the smallest ads help. And I think Nino Niederreiter has been a proven top six scorer. And they basically just got him on a steal of a contract, and they all they had to pay was a second round pick. He probably didn't want to go to Winnipeg in the offseason, right? He wasn't going to sign there. And now they got term on that contract, all for a second round pick. Like that's great business, right? Yeah. Like, so again, and I love it for Nashville. Like I love it for Nashville. Okay, so we signed this guy. We know that's not working out. We're not going to compete. Let's just get rid of our best chips. And well, not even our best chips, like our chips that like maybe people are interested in. Like Tanner Janot, undrafted player. They just got how many picks for him, right? Nino Niederreiter. He was like the end of the year signing. Second round pick. Thank you very much. Like I like it for both teams. There's a lot of these deals. The only deal, and we'll probably get to it. There's only one deal I didn't like for one side. And we'll get to it. But other than that, I think this is a tidy, again, I've said tidy bit of business, like I think 1,000 times, but it's low cost and it's, you have a player that's locked in for a few years. Why not? Like, why not? Yeah. Nobody's signing in Winnipeg. Sorry, Winnipeg Jets fans. They're not.
Yeah.
And they clearly needed a new winger because Rick Bonest freaking benched or didn't bench, demoted Nikolaj Ehlers to the fourth line the other game. So, here's a free first line, second line spot, Nino. Have fun.
Last deal I have written down that I want to talk about, because I feel like this is a deal that could either end up being a steal or it could just be the biggest nothing burger ever. And that's Vitali Kravtsov being traded from New York to Vancouver. I don't even remember for what, because it's like a seventh round pick and some guy named William. No respect, no disrespect, William. But I mean, I don't know what to tell you. This is a guy who's had his problems in New York, and it's going to be really interesting because obviously on the one hand, Vancouver already has a ton of players playing the position he's going to be going for, you know, like that top six, middle six winger with potential that's currently not being realized. New York had no time for him. There's been a long documented, weirdly antagonistic relationship there, which brings into question why it took this long for them to part ways. But this is a new opportunity for him. The you know, Canucks have an environment where I think they said he knows and has played with Pud Colson. Obviously, Kuzmenko is here in Vancouver and loves it. That is actually been something that's been kind of thrown out there. So he could be coming to an environment that's very welcoming and very friendly, and an opportunity for him to really show what, you know, he probably thinks he is. This is a former highly touted prospect. So again, I think this could end up being pretty big, at least for his career, but it could also end up being complete nothing. Trivia: what was the most mundane trade that never amounted to anything on both sides of the 22-23 season?
If you're Vancouver, why would you not do this deal? And it's also crazy because I remember last year, they were like shopping them, and nobody was taking the asking price. They were asking for a first and I think another pick, and nobody was touching it. And it felt like that rumor was like all season, right? But I get it too. I get why you'd ask for a trade. Like, you look at that Rangers lineup. Who are you going to, like, where are you going to, like, take a winger spot? Right?
Yeah.
Laffy's still there. Kako's still there. Tarasenko's there. Patrick Kane will be there next week. Right? Like, where are you going to play? They had Sammy Blay playing there for a while. Like, again, like, there's Chris Kreider. Like, Panarin, I didn't even mention. Like, there's so many wingers that are, like, have those top six spots locked up for a really long time. And I think this is the perfect spot for Kravtsov. Like, I think it's awesome. I think Pod Kolzin's there. They just got that guy from Toronto, Ilya Mikheyev. He's Russian. Kuzmenko loves it. Pedersen's there still. He's an up-and-coming superstar that doesn't get talked about enough. I think it's a perfect spot for him. I know there was rumors that were reported after the trade. Well, he might go to the KHL. I don't think he's going to go to the KHL. Like, let's give Vancouver a try and see how it goes, because a lot of European players seem to have like a lot of success there. Russians are seeming to go wanting to go to Vancouver now. It's a beautiful city. Beautiful city.
It's got to be one of the shortest flights in the NHL for them to get home.
Yeah.
Just geographically speaking. And yeah, I mean, I think the KHL rumor was, I mean, who knows?
Like a, might it feels still, like a but ploy.
It feels kind of like they needed to force New York into doing something and stop burying this guy. Because almost immediately, as soon as the trade was out, he was tweeting out that he was in the back of an Uber driving the 5 hours from Washington State to Vancouver.
That's awesome.
Which is like he seemed to be stoked and on his way. So that's where it really feels like, regardless of whatever happened, and not to say that New York was wrong or that they were, you know, being unethical about it, but whatever happened, it does seem like this guy genuinely wants an opportunity to play and that hasn't felt like he had that opportunity there. So it's great to see. I think he could have easily just had at any point gone to the KHL if that's what he wanted, and it doesn't feel like that is it. So this is pretty cool.
Yeah, a former 2019 first round pick. I think he went 9th or 10th. Like, now it's on him, right? Your second yep. organization. It's you're going to get the opportunity to play. I think Rick Tocchet will play him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's this is your shot, man. Or you will go. Like, you will just have to head back to the KHL. So I'm excited to see how it unfolds. I'm not excited if it does like unfold well for Vancouver, because that's just sucky for me as a Flames fan. Now I got to watch another. They just got another free winger. It's like unbelievable. But yeah, it was a crazy trade. A trade that nobody saw coming. But like, again, Patrick Kane's going to be New York Ranger here fairly quickly. So they had to clear money, and he was one of the ones, and nobody wanted him. There was rumors he was going to go in waivers. So I guess they got something for him.
Hey, they did better than Edmonton's going to do with Jesse Puljujärvi, I bet.
Just freed the man.
Yeah. You mentioned Kane, and something I wanted to talk about, and if we wanted to talk about some more deals in a minute, sure. But you've got to figure something that's going to happen in this offseason, because the whole sitting players out for trade purposes, it has been taken too far this season. In the past, it has always been a thing where a deal was imminent. So they might sit out a game. They're usually traded within 24 hours of that. Chychrun's now been out for, what, 8 games, I think. Kane's out for 2 or 3. Luke Shen, I think, is at 5 games now. Timo Meier was being held out. There's a couple other players I think I'm blanking on. But it pulls back the veil of hockey being about sport and fan service, and it pulls back the veil, and it exposes it as just a business, you know. And it kind of ruins that. And I think it's to me the equivalent is the NBA and having players sit for, you know, resting, which has already been. I don't want to say dealt with, because I think it's still happening to a certain extent, but like they realized, like, oh yeah, people are coming to pay to see these players, to see this product, and that's counter to, you know, a true fan experience. And so you know, I think, not to throw any shade against players that are sitting out if they're genuinely hurt or if they're worn down, and look, if a deal is actually imminent, I get it, pull the guy. If you're gonna trade him that night, pull him that day. But just sitting him on the It's ridiculous, in my opinion. And something has to be done.
Yeah, we can thank Arizona for this, for just not ripping the Band-Aid off the Jacob Chychrun thing. But I feel like it's – and this is where I get mad about it. There's two things that will piss me off about this. It's basically Gary's cap still, right? The reason Patrick Kane hasn't been traded to the New York Rangers is every day that we get closer to the deadline, every team gets more cap space because you're paying these players less because you're closer towards the end. So New York's going to wait right up until that last day, so they have the most cap capital that they can use to then trade for Patrick Kane. That's one. So our cap is just not working. Like, it's just like, it's a problem for A. Now it's for the consumer, right? Because who's paying to go see these games? And it's not like Chicago doesn't like still sell out or still like get a lot of crowd there, right? That's one of the top markets in the NHL. And it's not like San Jose. Could you imagine like buying a ticket to go see San Jose? And you're like, oh, I get to see Timo Meier one more time. Ah, no, he said no. Right. But then now we got to keep in mind that if a player is going to rest or or doesn't want to play because he doesn't want to like further along his injury. And then we call him selfish, not a team guy. No, it's, you know, like it's total double standard. Both sides of the board. Like, I don't like it this way and I don't like it this way. Do I get it business wise? Yes. Do I get it player wise? Yes. But again, you are a business and the consumer's buying. And if the organization's like holding players out and then not trading them, like Jacob Chikrin should be back playing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. We all thought that deal was going to happen. There was talk it was going to happen on Monday. I get it. Sit him one game. That's fine. Right. That's been done forever. But Jacob Chikrin hasn't played in like 3 weeks?
Yeah.
It's getting ridiculous here. Like, what are we doing here? Timo Meier did get hurt and he was actually hurt. And then I think he only missed 2 games and we haven't even talked about that trade. But again, that was pretty intimate. But Patrick Kane's going to sit out for a whole nother week. Like, so that's 2 weeks basically, or a week and a half. That's crazy. It's just crazy. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. And yeah, I don't love it. I don't love it on either side. And it's gone full bonkers this offseason. Full bonkers. So it is what it is. Like, Chicago's also holding out Sam Lafferty. And it's like, okay, trade him. Right? Yeah. Like, trade him then. I'm sure he wants to be playing. Right? But again, cap, huge. There's no cap space. And teams are just being extra cautious. I don't know why, but it is what it is. Yeah, I'm with you. Well, I'm with you.
Chikrin's one, and especially that, like I said, I think for a long time the last year or so, we've all been thinking like, hey, like just trade the guy already. Like, don't have a plan for him. Teams want him. It would be great to see this guy who could be a superstar play on a relevant team. But you know, not being in a hurry to trade him made total sense. Like, why would you? You don't have to move him. But it was different when he was still playing hockey. And now he's just not. And it's, you know, it feels to a certain extent like something that Union should almost have to step in for, because whilst, you know, it's probably not the end of the world for a lot of guys to be able to just sit back and relax and take care of their body. We know everybody in the NHL is dinged up right now. It's a physical game. But you know, they're basically not letting him go to work. They're not letting him do his job. And there's no end in sight. Like, if the trade deadline passes, do they sit him for the rest of the year? Do they just not let him play hockey for the rest of the year? If they can't, like, and that's where I think there needs to be some kind of league mandate involved, where maybe you can do something like this, but there's a maximum number of games you can keep them out for without penalty. But we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be addressed at the owners' meetings and the GM's meetings and all that. Like, it's actually quite great. And you know what? I will give, like, Tanner Jeannot got pulled today. He instantly got traded, right? Mm-hmm. So there have been teams that have used the trade-related reasons well. Like, oh, hey, we're going to trade him in the hour. So
that makes sense.
That makes sense, right? But no, I think this Jacob Chikrin thing is ridiculous. I honestly do. And it's not because I'm like sitting here, I want more trades. Don't play him if you're not going to trade him. Right? Like, he's still a part of your team. He's still a part of your organization. I get it. He's your biggest trade chip. Yeah, oh, he's been your biggest trade chip for over a year and a half now. There's been that rumor, okay? So you either have to like address the elephant in the room. Hey, maybe we're not going to get the price we're asking for, so we're just not going to like move him right now until somebody gives us that price. But no, they're sitting there. Oh, somebody's going to pay us, or we're just not going to make sure he gets hurt. And I don't know. I just don't love it.
Yeah.
So
you mentioned it. I swear I thought maybe it's because we were jawing so much about it, but before the podcast, but we've almost forgot to talk about the Timo Meier trade, which happened today, right before almost we were recording. Timo Meier going to the Devils. For what, a lot, but maybe not a lot of value. Is that what we're thinking, Ty?
Yeah, give me fuel, give me fire, give me F and Timo Meier, baby. It's happening. The biggest trade chip is gone. And I hate the return for the Sharks. I'm just saying, like, I just hate the return for the Sharks. I think I think the Devils at the end of the day got the best player. And what I've learned from the summer, just being a Flames fan, is when you move out the best player, you're usually going to lose that deal, right? And Matthew Tkachuk went on to flourish, and the two boys in Calgary are like, although I do love Mackenzie Weegar right now. I think this deal is incredible for the New Jersey Devils. They have a bunch of prospects that are top tier. Luke Hughes, Nemec, who they just drafted. Dawson Mercer, who's going to be an up-and-coming like power forward slash whatever. And they didn't have to give up any of them. Oh, I didn't even mention Holtz. Holtz is another up-and-coming like stud center. They didn't have to give up any of them for a three-time 30-goal scorer on a very garbage team. High productions, drives plays. I love it. It fits in with the timeline for the New Jersey Devils, who have Jack Hughes locked up to a nice deal, Dougie Hamilton to a nice deal. They just stole their goalie from Washington last year, right? Like, I feel like right now is a perfect time to add a winger. And they finally got one. And you know what? I would take him over Kevin Fiala. I wouldn't take him over Johnny Gaudreau. Oh, maybe I would, just in the sense of his age. And then, so they've done really well. And they didn't give up anything, right? A couple of the pieces I like in that deal, and I'll let you like debate me here because I know you have a differing opinion. I like the first round pick. You have to have that first round pick. It also has a condition, which is hilarious. If it's a top two selection, New Jersey will transfer. It won't be top two. New Jersey's way too good.
That's so weird.
It's just a weird one. Like I think it's impossible for them to fall. I love Zetterlund in the sense that he's a really proven bottom six forward. I know there's some debate that he'll get more playing time in San Jose. In the top six, he probably will. He's got an engine that goes. And the defenseman that they got in return, Shakir Mukha Madulin or whatever it is. I cannot pronounce that name. It's a crazy name. He's a very good prospect, probably a B-level prospect. I love those three pieces. The rest is just them adding a bunch of names to make the deal look huge. New Jersey also got a depth defenseman in Scott Harrington, who's played a little bit with Erik Karlsson this year. I think that's a steal. And they also got a fifth round pick and a couple other players. It's a huge deal. I just think New Jersey just like is running to the bank here. They just stole. Right. So, but I'll let you debate me here. I'm okay to like say that my opinion is stupid and makes no sense, and I'm undervaluing the players that San Jose got in return.
Well, I mean, you just made my point right there. So no, I mean, I get it. I think that we were all expecting a bigger return for Timo Meier because of the quality of player, because of the number of teams that were involved in the bidding. I think we're all expecting like multiple firsts and impact players. Usually, let's be honest, when there's what looks like a bidding war, the price ends up being big. And especially a team like New Jersey that really could have afforded to probably blow them away from the get-go with what they were offering without impacting this year or even next year. They really could have done that with their prospects, their top prospects. So I think we were all expecting that. But, I mean, a first-round pick this year with a ridiculous condition that feels like a waste of time to even write it out.
Yeah.
A conditional second round next year, which I'm going to call it a conditional, even though they're calling it a conditional first, because the condition is that New Jersey has to make the conference finals before it becomes a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Which, look, they're a really good team, and they've got a chance. But, I mean, they may as well have made it the Stanley Cup. Like,
yeah, the East is just next level.
Yeah, it's going to be a bloodbath. So it's... You know, it's going to be a tough condition to meet. A lot of bodies going back the other way. Young players who are going to get a better opportunity that they were ever going to get in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And so I don't follow players developmentally and in nearly enough to have a strong opinion on any of them. But one thing I will fall back on is because we know other teams were involved, there's no reason for San Jose to take this if it wasn't the best offer. Now, maybe there was a team along the line. Maybe 2 months ago, a team offered something that would have been marginally better, and San Jose told them no because they thought they could get a little bit more. and they missed out on that. Like maybe they could have got the Ryan O'Reilly payment that St. Louis got, but they thought they could get more. And so that's the only reason that I think that the only time that I think they could have got more for this. But there were a lot of teams involved that were really interested in this player, who is, and I know this is contentious, he is a rental. He's an RFA, and he's probably going to be worth every penny.
Oh.
But that was one of the things as well that was coming out, is that a lot of teams were looking at this as they wanted to. I think that's where the high prices came from, where the idea that we'll trade you all these assets for Timo, but we also want to have at least an extension
In
discussed.
place, yeah.
Yeah, and Timo, from all accounts, it seems like Timo's not really wasn't really interested in having that conversation with anybody,
Well, I will say
at least anybody that was involved.
the Sharks didn't grant it for the longest time. Like the whole
Yeah.
season, the Sharks wouldn't let Timo talk. Like, which was weird, especially when you're trying to get the most return. I just want to piggyback before we get lost in like what you were saying. I will say this on the teams that New Jersey outbid. They Carolina, Vegas, let's just go with those two because those were the final three. They don't have a deep prospect pool at all. Like either team, like Carolina, a lot of their young players are in their roster. They're not going to part with Seth Jarvis, right? So I don't know if New Jersey had to get that deep in their bag because I know rumor was Buffalo, but I'm sure they were like looking at it like maybe the math doesn't add up or maybe it doesn't make sense for us to go get them. I don't know if it's that the offers were that much like I just don't think they had to match that much, to be fair. Like, I feel like LA already burned all their assets on Kevin Fiala. Florida burned all their assets on Matthew Tkachuk. Who was the other winger that went last year? There was one more that I missed out on that Florida was in. I mean, not that Florida. Oh, Johnny Gaudreau went to Columbus. Columbus isn't buying another winger. Like, all these teams have deep prospect pools. San Jose is one of them. Anaheim's another one. They're not buying a player like Timo Meier right now. It doesn't make sense for them. So I think New Jersey had to win, but clearly the other offers weren't that great. Like, I'm sure Zach Dean was part of Vegas's offer, right? It's not going to be hard to beat Zach Dean. No offense to Zach Dean. You know what I mean?
Oh,
Like,
no.
you're not going to throw in Simon Nemec, who just went second overall last draft, and be like, here's our one upper, right? We're going to add this guy. No, the prospects they got are solid B prospects. Like they're okay, but I'm with you. I just don't think the other offers were probably as good as what we think they should have been for a player of his stature, you know?
Yeah. My conspiracy theory, more hypothesis, because I don't think it's really that dark, is that, like we saw, as soon as Ryan O'Reilly got traded and the Blues ended up having all these picks, immediately the rumor was that the Blues had kind of inquired about Timo Meier. And I think, and some people, I remember reading the Blues Reddit board, and I thought it was really funny because some people were confused. Like, I thought we were sellers. Why would we buy him? And it's like, well, roster management isn't as simple as buying and selling. Like, if you could bring in a guy that age, even if you're, I mean, and the Blues are retooling, like, that could speed things up right away, especially if you're not selling everything for him. But what I think happened, in my opinion, what I think happened is that they inquired, and they had that idea, and then they immediately had, that bad game against Vancouver, where Berube basically called out his players in the media. Torpchenko, one of the younger guys, kind of echoed it. And then Rob Thomas immediately followed that up, kind of arguing the point in the media, which is, it shows passion, shows fire. But I think what it probably happened is they thought, you know what, rather than retool, we might need a culture change. In general, which, if you've got three first round picks, you can definitely change and decide what the incoming culture will be, even if you have guys that you're going to be holding on to for a while, like a Kyrou and a Thomas. So I that's my belief. The way that it all broken out is they were inquiring, seemed like there was trouble at home. They immediately bowed out of it and were like, actually, no, we've got a lot more work to do than we maybe thought. So.
Yeah, that was a wild interview too. That whole thing was both parties were like, you're watching like, oh, I didn't think that was gonna happen anytime soon. Especially because you both know where they are in the standings. And they just sold two really good players. And now a third. And I'm like, Oh, okay. Well, Craig, you went cutthroat there, and I get it. They probably didn't play very well, but boy, oh boy, your season's gone. Like you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's probably like both parties are right in like a certain sense, right? Hey, it's just an off day, and Craig's probably all mad because his seat's probably gonna, well, even though he just signed a contract extension. I don't know. I also think St. Louis is way more into Jacob Chychrun than, say, Timo Meier. I think that fit would fit St. Louis a little bit better, but I'm with you. I don't think they're gonna trade their picks. Why would you? I get it if they want that aggressive retool, and they've done it in the past, right? But yeah, I'm sitting there like, hey, we could probably, if we use these picks, we could be really good for a really long time again. So crazy, crazy.
We could draft the next Tage Thompson.
Maybe, and then trade him for Ryan O'Reilly. Another one. Another one. Maybe another cup. Flames will just continue to draft 15th. It's okay.
Perpetually mediocre.
Love
Nice.
it. Awful. Awful,
Ah,
awful.
well, at least you only have to see it for another 8 years.
I might just switch teams. I am fully on the New Jersey Devils bandwagon. Like, I think it's awesome. Are they going to get just pumped by New York Rangers in the first round? Because that's like a lock already. Yes. 100% yes, they are.
Oh, buddy.
It's, but
I will
it's going to
happily.
be.
We can make some bets about that
All
matchup.
right. All right. But it's going to be a wild matchup. I think goalies,
Oh yeah.
New York, everything. It's going to be great. I'm excited. I'm also excited for this trade deadline happening this Friday, March 3rd. Is there going to be a lot of players moved? I don't know. A lot of them have already been moved, but let's hope something crazy happens, like
Fingers
the
crossed.
ultimate Erik Karlsson trade to Edmonton, which would be incredible. I'm still hoping for it.
Somehow Bill Guerin will get a third round pick.
Probably. It's going to freaking broker. I don't even know where he's getting all this cap space, but whatever.
He's just playing out of pocket at this point.
Yeah, love it.
Put it on my tab.
Yeah, I'll get it next year. We'll get it next year. Joke.
Oh, boys. Good episode, buddy. Feeling good. Loving it. Any parting thoughts for our adoring fans?
No, not really. I think I've laid my heart out on the table for you today. I've come off with some spicy takes. Not really, not really anything that spicy, but this is one of my favorite times of the year. This is as a fan, you feel for the families and all that. As a spectacle, it's just so much, like, so much movement and so much headlines, and it's just so easy to like be engaged in such a long season. So I'm gonna enjoy this week. I'm gonna enjoy the rumors galore. I get sucked into them and I go down rabbit holes and I, oh, that's not really true. That is true. And it's a blast. And you get to over evaluate prospects, under evaluate prospects, over evaluate players. It's the best time. This and the draft, if your team's not in the playoffs, is the best time of the year. And I'm here for it. I'm ready for it. It's gonna be quiet for Calgary. I imagine it's gonna be quiet for St. Louis now. They've moved all their big pieces. Who knows? They might move. I see another Mackenzie Weegar for Colton Parayko rumor.
Oh, babe.
I'm gonna throw something through my window. That
I
doesn't even
would
make
love that.
sense. Doesn't even
That
make
would be
sense.
amazing. That's exactly
Oh,
what Daryl wants. He needs another big,
I know it's what Daryl
solid,
wants.
cup-winning player who
That's
can
what's
just get in
freaking
there.
terrifying. Watch, you'll get Noah Hanifin for Colton Parayko. That's what you'll get, and that's even better
I
for you
mean,
guys. That's even better.
I don't mind. I do like Colton Parayko. I think he gets a bum deal because he's getting hung out to dry based on his potential, which he's not living up to. But I mean, it's potential. What can he do? And I don't think he's got a whole lot of help back there. Colton Parayko is not the only thing going wrong on the St. Louis D-Core. And as much as I'm a big fan of Doug Armstrong, and he does a lot of great things, and the players seem to be a fan of his assessment of defense and the contracts that he gives them, and the no movement clauses that he hands out like free popcorn at a movie theater. Oh, it hurts. It hurts. But anyways, that's all it for today. Thank you all so much for listening. It's going to be an exciting week. We might be able to squeeze another quick cheeky episode in, but the trade deadline, we'll see how we do that, what we can do this week. But and we might have an exciting guest in the not too distant future. Who knows? We'll see. That's not one of my normal throwaways there that has no weight to it. We actually might have a guest lined up who it would be really fun to have on here. With that exciting and carrot dangle for you all, let me just say thank you all so much once again for listening. We have endless amounts of gratitude for all of you. Thank you so much for my man Twigs, for myself Mitts. Be kind to each other, keep your stick on the ice, and we'll see you next week.
I always lose the record.